Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
It's time now to talk sport with our correspondent this evening, Brian Waddle. Brian, kia ora to you.
Hello, Emil. Yes, there's plenty been going on that we can talk about. It's a matter of what we can fit in.
Indeed, it's a bit of a matter of what we can fit in tonight. Maybe first we'll talk a bit about cricket. The Black Caps have drawn level with Pakistan in their five-match T20 series. But, Brian, I have to be honest with you. I barely knew that this was even going on, and perhaps that's part of the problem here.
Yeah, to a certain extent, it's come from nowhere. And while you go away on these tours and you take players and there is value in terms of the experience that they gain, I must admit, I wonder where this came from and what it's trying to achieve. Yes, you've got players who are on the verge of making the International World T20 Championship, but all the players who are going to go to the West Indies are either resting or they're in India, on the India Premier League. You look at the side that played overnight, to my mind, only two of them are likely to be in the World T20. One of them is Mark Chapman, who basically won the game with an outstanding innings. And I think he just reaffirmed his selection, because I think he was always right close to the margin for his selection. But he's made it. The other one, of course, will be Ish Sodhi. Oh, and I suppose Michael Bracewell is another one who will probably go as not so much captain, but be part of the team. But, you know, I sort of wonder the expense that it's cost. I mean, as you probably know, all the players who travel on the cricket team these days travel business class. Mm. Now, there's 20 people on that group, 20 times, you know, 10,000 plus if they pay full fare. Mm. It's costing over $200,000. And to my mind, that money could be used developing players rather than just giving them five games of T20 cricket in Pakistan. But hey, you know, we've got to enjoy this success. It's a great effort to beat Pakistan in Pakistan. We've done it in the past, but it's a matter now of trying to sustain the consistency with which they do that. And that will be important in the remaining two games, just to see whether they are capable of doing it again, because the record between the two sides is basically held by Pakistan. They've generally got it over us, but they're trying to re-establish themselves as a team getting ready for the World T20. So perhaps it's helping them more than it's helping us, but we'll see when the tour's over, I guess.
It's an interesting thing, isn't it, Ryan? Because, you know, sometimes we complain about the Black Caps not playing enough cricket, and particularly when it comes to test cricket. You know, we play barely any test series these days. So perhaps it's sort of the idea that we're having too much junk food forced down our throat. Perhaps it's influenced, but both of us are more of a fan of longer forms of the game than T20 series. And so perhaps it doesn't fit in with our cricketing sensibilities, you know?
No, but I think there's a lot of people feel the same way. Yes, you take what you can get and you do play as much cricket as you can possibly get. But sometimes you're right, the junk overtakes the better quality stuff. That is the way I look at it. I mean, I don't go out of my way to see T20. I watch them because I have to, and I like watching New Zealand cricketers play. But, you know, next summer we're only having three test matches against England, and that is from November through to March. And, you know, I believe that we should be playing more of that cricket, more quality cricket, developing these players so that they can play T20. We don't want them preparing for test matches by T20. They should be preparing for T20 by playing test matches. Mm.
Meanwhile, Brian, the supercars were roaring back into Taupo over the weekend. You had some thoughts on this?
Yeah, well, I mean, I must admit I am not an out-and-out motorsport fan, but I did watch this over the weekend because it was something special. There'd been some criticism from some quarters about running these supercars at Taupo, but Boy, it was amazing action. And when you hear and see many of the overseas drivers, competitors, team members talking about the quality of what they were racing on, and a place like Taupo, it was, to my mind, it was outstanding to see the people there on Saturday when it was just plummeting down with rain, and it didn't make for quite the sort of spectacle that you want. But they handled it brilliantly. And then on Sunday, of course, they had the event run by Will Brown, and I suppose the end result was that the guy who owns the track up there was prepared to give the signal to those who were critical of the event that it's here and it's here to stay. I think it's wonderful that we get on the international scene like that, that what people see is the real New Zealand. We see people come here to enjoy it, and it generates a lot of revenue for not only the country but for the local economy. And I couldn't understand why there was a criticism, and I think it's been proven that it is an event worth having here. The top Australasian drivers were taking part, and it was brilliant, even for someone like myself who doesn't necessarily spend a lot of time watching motorsport. I really enjoyed it. It was exciting.
Yeah, it can be pretty exciting when the conditions are right, can't it? Now, let's talk a bit about, well, I suppose the favoured children of the Kiwi sporting landscape at the moment, the Warriors and the Phoenix, who both had a bit of a deflating experience over the weekends. The Warriors going down to the Dragons, the Phoenix, they drew, didn't they, with Newcastle. Interesting. Perhaps victims of their own success in a way.
It may well be that we're expecting probably a lot more from them now because we're seeing them both the sports, football and league, performing better than we expected from them. And we now expect them to go out and almost win every time. The Warriors have set up a style of play that's attracted people. And let's face it, there are probably more people now going to the league in Auckland than are probably going to some of the Super 15 rugby
Oh,
matches. And
definitely.
rugby itself has issues in terms of making it a viable sport to watch. And the numbers going to the Phoenix in home matches is starting to increase. And of course, we're sitting here rubbing our hands thinking, boy, these guys could come top of the league and could be playing in a home semi-final. They had a chance to win the game under a bit of pressure. Perhaps that's what it brings when you create an expectation, the pressure on the two teams starts to tell. And now you've got both coaches saying, look, we've got to pick up our game. Webby, as he's known to everybody now, the coach of the Warriors, he's basically said that they've got to improve their defensive pattern and some of their structures and get their game together because they started off well against the Dragons, but then they just fell apart and couldn't stand the pressure that the Dragons applied. And to some extent, there was a fair bit going on in the Phoenix's favour, but they also just succumbed to a little bit of pressure. How would you be as captain of the side in the 96th minute missing a penalty? I mean, that is just the most frustrating scenario that you could imagine. But, the pressure will be back on them again. They're at home this week against MacArthur, I think it is. And here's hoping that the Phoenix are able to take that spot at the top of the table. They've got to rely on other matches, of course, but we're also expecting the Warriors to do much the same. So, a turnaround in form will be great.
It's so heartbreaking watching someone miss a penalty in injury time, but it is
Oh.
also, it's so fascinating, isn't it, to see that, how people react under that sort of level of pressure. You can't manufacture situations like that, and I'm sure that they'll learn from that experience. You talked about the Super Rugby there, Brian, and my word, looking at that table, the Crusaders are the bottom dead last in that table. Pigs are flying, Brian. Hamburgers are eating people. We're walking around with hats on our feet. What's the world come to?
Yeah, who would have thought it? I certainly wouldn't have thought it. I didn't expect them to be the table-topping side that they have been in the past, but I always thought they'd be there and really in contention for the top job. Well, they're talking a positive game. We can still get to the playoffs, but I find it hard to believe when you see the likes of the Hurricanes, who are pretty much the same team as last year, except they've got a different coach. I wonder what difference that has made to the Hurricanes, because they're unbeaten in the top tier. But even more so, I think the real threat seems to be coming from the Blues, the way they accounted for the Brumbies in the last round. And they're the two sides that could well be playing for the top spot in the Super Rugby. But, you know, what has gone wrong with the Crusaders? New coach. You know, you get to a stage now when you're at the bottom of the table, they start talking about, well, how long's he got? You know, are we going to have to change the coach before we change the players, or change the style of play, or whatever it is? But, you know, everybody is looking at the reasons why. I don't know anybody yet who's really come up with the answer. Yes, they've had some injury problems and they want some more experienced players to come back into their lineup. But I don't know how you see the Crusaders, but they're probably more parochial than any other provincial representative side in the country, aren't they? And, you know, when they're down, times are really tough. And, you know, they'll be doing it hard, the Crusaders fans now, because, well, I heard a story the other day about a young man who has always been a Crusaders fan, but now he switched to the Hurricanes.
Wow, really? Wow,
Yeah.
gee. You've outed someone there, Brian. Oh, dear.
Yeah, but he probably won't be listening to me.
No, all right, and finally this evening, Brian, the FA Cup final, and it's an all Manchester affair after, well, I mean, the Manchester United Coventry City semi. That was one for the ages, wasn't it? Goodness me.
Well, 3-0 down, and then to get three back to go to a penalty shootout, and with an air of controversy about a late goal or a penalty that could have been awarded and wasn't done so. But you know, you talk about parochial fans. My assessment of English football is that, you know, a Manchester derby probably could only be equaled by a Liverpool Everton derby.
Oh,
Yes, you have the London.
Tottenham Arsenal's a
Yeah,
pretty
I
big
was
one.
just going to say, yeah, the London clubs are the same. But you know, I've been in Manchester when the two Manchester sides have been playing. I was on a cricket trip over there, and it was coming towards the end of the season. And if I remember rightly, Manchester United won the game, and in my hotel room in the centre of town, you could hear all across Manchester, and sleep was very hard to have. So them playing the FA Cup, it's going to be at a neutral venue, which is important. That's where you really decide those games. It's not as if it's going to be at City's ground or Old Trafford, but that is promoter's dream, isn't it? Man City versus Man U, and you know, it was a pretty harsh reality for a side like Coventry. The other interesting thing too, Emil, is that there's been a suggestion from the Nottingham Forest fans that a referee was a little bit corrupt in his decision making,
I saw that.
and that came across in social media, because the suggestion was that the referee was more inclined to want Everton to win than Nottingham
Yeah,
Forest.
because he was
So,
a Luton fan, I think, and Luton are Nottingham's sort of
yeah.
mortal enemies, and so there was a suggestion that he shouldn't have been reffing the game, and the Nottingham Forest Twitter account sent out an outrageous tweet. My God, the FA is going to come down on
Oh.
them like a ton of bricks, I'd say.
Well, if that's an official, you know, Twitter account, and you assume that it is, it's got the Nottingham Forest name and their symbol, etc. You know, to me, that really displays the poorest sportsmanship. You know, things might go against you, and we all hate refereeing decisions that go against us. But you know, sport is about accepting what you're delivered, and you have to take it and accept it
Indeed,
with good
indeed.
grace, even though you might feel some hatred.
Yeah, the injustice is kind of part of it sometimes, isn't it? Brian Waddle, always a pleasure
Yeah,
chatting to you.
exactly.
Thanks for your time this evening.
Great, Emil.
It is our sports correspondent, Brian Waddle.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.